This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Sterling Bennett, Dan Devone, Carter Mondavi Chickering producing here today. As we talking about the Golden State Warriors, and why not? A team that goes undefeated during the preseason, but I think that we, as some of the callers have alluded to, when you take on that Laker team yesterday, that was sort of silly. And yeah, I don't know if it was Austin or Big Smooth that charging people more than $5 for that thing was sort of highway robbery, man. Just that was void of any real stars, especially on the part of the Lakers. Where are you guys at when it comes to Bronny James? My God, if that dude, if they break the regular season, he doesn't go down to the G League, and I'm Austin Reeves, or if I'm somebody on the, I'm on Vanderbilt, I'm like, come on, man. What are we doing here? That is not an NBA basketball player, Sterling. Your thoughts?
Now, don't get me wrong. LeBron's one of the greatest of all time. But Bronny can't even hit free throws. You see Devin Booker on the sidelines talking a bunch of mess about him during the game while he's bricking free throws, which I know Wiggins has his problems from the stripe, but my goodness, Bronny, he wasn't even great in college. He was below average at USC. And look, and I get it. You know, nepotism runs rampant in the entire world, especially in the NBA, but it's like everybody with their eyes, from GMs to scouts to fans to people that are just being born, can say Bronny James is not an NBA player. That doesn't mean he can't become one, but as of right now, I don't care what you did last night against the Golden State Warriors in what seemed like to be, like Big Smooth said, this, you know, let's see what Bronny James has. It's been so unimpressive, it makes you question why we're even having the conversation.
He looks like a guy that doesn't belong in the NBA when I see him play. This isn't hating on LeBron. I mean, it's actually a pretty cool story with LeBron and his son, even if it doesn't go any further than the preseason. Man, that's awesome. But that's watching him play, like, it just is so clear that he doesn't, even just watching him run up and down the floor without the ball in his hands, like, bro, you're an imposter. What's this all about? I would go as far as a lot of people are like, yeah, he's going to start the league he's going to start the season in the G League. I don't think he's good enough for the G League. I mean, let's not discount any of you who've watched the G League. What is it that he's doing? I don't think he can hang with those guys. I think you know what he's become? He's become like the third Ball brother. You know, there was Lonzo Ball, there was LaMelo Ball, and then there was this sort of like dysfunctional,
LiAngelo?
What are we going to do with LiAngelo? And his father, meanwhile, is like, well, all three of them have got to play in the NBA. If you're gonna take one of them, you're going to take all three of them, got to start just like Chino High School in Southern California, that they're going to make you a winner. And LiAngelo's like, you know, simply because, you know, the bloodlines only go so far. And clearly the DNA stopped at LiAngelo. It's like, you can't even play in the G League. Bro, go be a model. Do whatever it is that you're going to do. You know, start working for Uber today because you're not playing in the NBA. And it's been a cool story with Bronny. But I'm just hoping that J.J. Redick does the right thing and just sort of says, LeBron, I hope you enjoyed that, because it was really a cool story, man, the fact that you just played with your son. But now that we've given him some run, like, I don't even know that I have a spot for him at the G League. He sure as hell better not break camp with that on that roster with the Lakers starting the regular season. I mean, that would be – I mean, now we go from this just being sort of a story where everybody sort of likes to throw out their hate. Look at Bronny. We all love the – it's sort of innate in all of us. We love to hate, right? Let's just face it. I'll be your therapist. We all do it, all right? It's why tabloids are tabloids. We love when celebrities are busted for whatever. And it makes us feel good in our little lives, like, oh, God, did you see what happened to so-and-so? And Bronny being bad, sort of like, I don't know, whether we want to admit this or not, we all privately giggle. Like, yeah, screw you, LeBron. Yeah. But if this goes even further than this, now it becomes a serious story if J.J. Redick is actually going to take a roster spot away from somebody simply because he's going to cater to LeBron. There's no way they break the preseason with him on the roster, do they?
Why would they not? When have they not catered to LeBron James, which at times makes sense. He's your star. You want to do that, but we know. With the Lakers, and with the Cavs as well, whatever LBJ says goes. You want to cater to LeBron, he's going to be your ticket to either success or failure, and sometimes both in the same year. But Bronny James last night was a minus 37, despite having 17 points and playing 35 minutes. And I get it, when you get guys out there, you know, like LeBron and Anthony Davis and D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves, and he's playing with them, it'll probably go up, but the fact is, when you put him against, let's say it's the Golden State Warriors, and it's Stephen Curry, and it's Pajemski, and it's Wiggins, or Kuminga, or Draymond, or whoever else that is out there, Looney, he's going to get played off the court on a consistent basis in the NBA. And it is so abundantly clear that he does not belong in the NBA. I think the G League is fine, whatever, get your reps, make LeBron happy. He'll be in the organization, he'll be around the team on certain days, on the off days and whatnot, but if he makes the roster, it is, I don't want to say a disgrace, but it's borderline disrespectful to the NBA process. It's not just, oh, LeBron's your daddy, and he got you a job. It's LeBron's your daddy, and he's taking away somebody else's job that deserves it 10 times over than Bronny James does.
Maybe he's the Lakers' version of Thanasis. Is that what we're looking at here?
Like this guy,
you got to make the guy happy. It's sort of like, I don't know if you watch The Sopranos, but there's an episode where Tony buys a horse, and this racing horse would always feel comfortable by having a goat in its stable. And Tony asks, well, what's with the goat? It's just like it eases and it soothes sort of the horse. It makes this prized horse feel good. And that's what I feel like Thanasis and Bronny are. They're like, look, they serve no purpose because they don't belong in the NBA. But if they're going to appease and just, if they're going to settle and center my star, that being Giannis and LeBron James, well, then I'm gonna keep him around. Maybe that's the logic in all of this. I just think that what happens, though, at that level, the only thing with Thanasis is that he's, he's maybe because he's been around for a while, but the fact of Bronny's, Bronny's sojourn to the NBA, where they just, they just passed him through, all right? As a freshman who scored less than double digits with USC, which was a bad basketball team at a bad conference a year ago, is now in the NBA. The whole process just sort of stinks. And if I'm somebody that's in the G League with the Lakers right now, and I don't know their roster, but I guarantee you there's dudes that can ball, that their whole life, man, they've been traveling, they've been in small cities, and they've been balling out, and they just want an opportunity to play for the Lakers, and they see this kid taking a spot. That's just not going to – we talk about the culture word when it comes to – I threw around the culture word when it comes to the Giants. That's a bad way to sort of – like the last thing you want is to lose that locker room if you're J.J. Redick. And have players talking behind your back and creating that cancer of, like, what the hell's going on here? What is Bronny doing on this team? And then that's obviously going to seep down to the G League as well. I don't think he can play in the G League either, Sterling.
But that's the thing right there is, okay, if that affects the culture, well, LeBron James has curated that culture. He got Darvin Ham fired like he got many coaches before Darvin Ham fired. He handpicked J.J. Redick. They do a podcast together, like – we want to say it'll affect the culture, but let's be honest, LeBron James is the curator of that culture in Los Angeles. He is that decision maker. I don't care what Jeannie Buss does or whoever else, Rob Pelinka, it doesn't matter. It is LeBron James's show. He's making, you know, who the head coach will be. And he's talking to Pelinka during trades. And all that is fine to a certain degree. You should always ask your stars, hey, what is the plan going to be? Bob Myers did it with Curry and Clay and Draymond. And again, that can all happen and work fine. But the fact is, the Lakers and LeBron James are just an entirely different animal. This is LeBron James's decision. And if LeBron wants Bronny on that roster, he'll be on that roster opening day. He doesn't care. If that means getting his son paid and playing with him. But you talked about, you know, there being a goat in the stable, making the horse comfortable. If you're 21 years into your career and you need your son next to you to make you stable and feel good and comfortable, I mean, what did the last 20 years matter? You're a multiple-time NBA champion. I get it. It's a great feel-good story. Your family's there, and you want to have a great time with your kid. Cool. One magic moment. That's great. But at a certain point, how much magic is there when your kid is playing terrible or playing to a point of not even a G League level? Like, that's where it gets like, what are we doing? Is he the 15th guy on the roster? How much does that guy play? Rarely ever, but the fact is, this is not where you bring somebody up on the 40-man roster in the MLB and say, sit there and watch the game, and maybe you'll contribute next season. The odds Bronny James ever contributes in the NBA is slim to none. Like, slim to none. So why is he even here?
You know, I think this even goes back further than the 21 years in the NBA. I think it's like the last 30, maybe even 35 years, because LeBron James has been in the limelight for so long. And what happens, I always refer to this as when people start putting food in your mouth and they start feeding you. Because what happens to LeBron James over the years is that you lose perspective. You become so insular. You become so wealthy. You become so highly regarded, both on the court, off the court. You surround yourself with minions. Everybody is a yes, sir, no, sir. And that you lose perception and you lose touch with reality. Like, you actually convince yourself, well, my son belongs in the NBA. Well, come on, man.
Right.
If you really had both feet on the ground and you had some level of sensibility, you'd be like, come on, I love my son, but he doesn't belong here. But when you put yourself in a bubble and people open doors for you and everything is you're the best and, oh my God, can I have your autograph, and you live in that world, well, you lose touch with reality and you begin to think that everything I do is great. Everywhere I go, people better genuflect. And when it comes to my son, hell yeah, he's going to play with me. And this is what you're going to do, Lakers. You're going to put him on the roster. And so, you know, that just, it happens to people that I think that get into that world and they lose touch really with what's going on at the end of the
day. But that tells you that, are the Lakers actually trying to win? Now, they want to say that, but this has become more the LeBron James feel-good end-of-the-career story. Like, hey, winning is an added-on to making LeBron James happy, which you have LeBron. He's still a great player. You'll win plenty of games. You'll make the playoffs or they play in for sure. But it's like, maybe winning is now coming second to the Lakers if Bronny makes the roster, which I think might be where we're at. It's, hey, let's make LeBron happy. He's going to retire in a couple of years' time, if not after this year. Let's make his last year a comfortable one. That feels like it's more of the, dare I say, the first, you know, that's the goal. That is the goal this year more than anything else.
You know, I see the text line here in the 408. Curry's Olympic high will continue. I want to touch on that for a second because I think that the Lakers, we were just talking about the before mentioned LeBron James, are really similar to that of the Warriors. Because LeBron played so many games. I want to say he played more than close to 70 games last year. I don't think that's going to happen again. And Anthony Davis was upright for the majority of the season. They're very similar in that both the Warriors and the Lakers are reliant on two aging stars. Now, Curry doesn't necessarily have an AD, but he does have a Draymond. And just to the caller or the text line of the 408 talking about how Curry's going to continue on this high from what it is that he did in the Olympics, I think of it the other way. And I hope to God I'm wrong. I'm knocking on wood here. You never want this, but I think that all of that basketball playing that he has done including this offseason in the Olympics. What have we seen aside from last year, which was clearly the outlier, which I think he played in his most games, I want to say since 2016, that typically over the last 5 to 7 years, aside from last year, Curry's going to go down with an injury. And there's a good chance that's going to happen this year. Much like that of LeBron and AD, that I don't think that you can rely on those two players with the Lakers as much as you did a year ago. And I'm not necessarily sure that Curry's going to be able to play as often as he did last year. I hope again to God I'm wrong, but he's going to be 37 in March. A lot of wear on those tires, especially after what it is that he did in the Olympics. And my big question, just to oversimplify the Warriors, always sort of begins and ends with, once Curry's not available, or even if he comes off the floor, then what? Who consistently do you turn to Who's score the basketball?
Which, do they have that guy anymore? In previous years, it was Clay. Previous years, it was Jordan Poole. Now it's Pajemski.
Previous years, it was Kevin Durant.
Right. And now it's Pajemski, and it's maybe Moses Moody, and now it's Buddy Hield. And they really don't have that bona fide number two. They have a number one. Draymond is kind of the number three, but really isn't a big-time scorer, more of a defensive facilitator on the offensive side. I think for Golden State, that's where the Kuminga conversation kind of rears its ugly head of, hey, if you want to make that, you know, take that next step and be a real contender in the NBA and the Western Conference, you're going to have Jonathan Kuminga be that number two this year. For as good as Pajemski is, and you know, for as good as Buddy Hield has been in the preseason, and you have some more pieces now to kind of lift you up, Golden State still has that big question mark of who is that number two scorer, in which you hope it's Kuminga, and in fact, it kind of has to be, unless Wiggins is like, you know what, I'm going to have a career season again, which, if the last 2 years are any indication, likely not going to happen. You're banking on 13 points a night, 50% from the free throw, and maybe 1-3 a game. Like, that's not going to help you at all win big games, but so Jonathan Kuminga has to be that guy that Golden State wants to take that next step this year.
Well, Steve Kerr was asked this very question, and he said he thinks it's going to be Andrew Wiggins. He's expecting a big bounce back from Andrew Wiggins. And that should tell you just about everything you need to know about the state of affairs with the Golden State Warriors. That your number two is Andrew Wiggins. And we all hope that Andrew Wiggins bounces back. We'd love to see Andrew Wiggins be that guy again. But even Andrew Wiggins at his very best, he takes time off. I'm not talking about the personal leave of absence. I'm just talking about where he gets into this little rut, or he climbs into this little Wiggins hole where he's just lethargic and disappears in terms of his energy. And it gets to the point where even Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond in years past were saying, hey, man, we need you every night. We need you, you know, to be that guy. Remember he had that dunk on Karl Anthony Towns against Minnesota on the baseline? It was one of the most vicious dunks. And they're like, yes, that's what we need from you every single night. He always has a tendency to disappear. And so if that's your number two, I think it speaks volumes as to where the Warriors are at. Because, Sterling, this league has never changed. It's about stars. It's about how many stars do you have. And typically you need more than one, especially if your one is 36 years of age. And I would go as far as to say there's a good chance he might get injured. That you need young stars who are in that sweet spot of, say, 27 to 30 years of age. Now, Andrew Wiggins is 29, so he's right there, but I don't know that I can entrust him in being a guy that consistently is going to give me 25, potentially 30 points a night. And that's what this league is based on. Everybody needs at least two, if not three, and going back in the day, the Golden State Warriors had four of those dudes when they won 73 games. And this whole idea, well, we got depth. Depth is great, but where's the meat? Where's the meat on the bone? Once Steph is out, like, who's scoring the basketball? And you can throw the Buddy Hields at me, the Pajemskis, the Slow-Mos. I know we can go GP2. There's 13 guys you can mention. But I need stars. Because this league has never changed. It's about comprised of having two, if not three, stars. Legitimate NBA perennial all-stars. And the Warriors just are void of that right now.
Consensus, you know, best year of Andrew Wiggins' career was the year they won the NBA title. In that game, or that year, he was, what, the number four? He was behind Curry and Poole and Clay returning off the injury. Like, he was this team's number four, and you're asking that same guy, a couple of years older now, with, I guess you can say, more inconsistencies in his game, to now be your number two, which... we all hope everything's okay. Obviously, he's had a lot of personal things happen in his life, and you know, we all believe in Andrew Wiggins to, you know, make the right, you know, turn to becoming the player, you know, top pick he once was. But the reality is, he's, you know, 10 plus years into his NBA career almost. He is who he is. He's a, you know, 16 point a night guy. Last year, he's been a little worse. I have a hard time, even if Steve Kerr says that's going to be our number two. How do you put faith in that? Like, that's my concern, is that, okay, if you walk into the year with that, you are almost begging for fans to say, well, what's the next move? Who are we adding come the trade deadline? Which San Francisco, Golden State, doesn't have the assets to make that move unless they're trading away a bunch of depth pieces. But like you said, they got, you know, the broccoli, and they got the salad, they got the carrots, they got the corn. They don't have that prime rib. Curry's great and all, and he can carry you for a long time, but eventually you leave that dinner plate and you go, man, I'm still hungry. Something else has to be on that plate for me, and it's just not for the Golden State Warriors right now.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you mentioned that. I gave that same analogy. I was on Locked On Warriors with with Charlie Walters. Remember Charlie Walters hosting that?
Oh, yeah.
So I was on, and I made that exact. I said, Charlie, imagine if you and your lovely wife, Kylan Mills, who is a sportscaster as well, if you guys were invited for Thanksgiving dinner, and the guests served nothing but trimmings, right? Nothing but, you know, nothing but cranberry sauce or nothing but mashed potatoes. You would say, honey, let's get the hell out of here. There's no turkey.
Right.
And that's sort of the Golden State Warriors. Like, where's the turkey, man? Where's the beef, as they like to say? Speaking of Thanksgiving, what is your go-to in terms of sort of the side dishes?
I'm a dressing kind of guy. People like stuffing. I don't want that near me, but my mother makes dressing. Not a big mac and cheese guy. I am a sweet potato and dressing kind of guy on Thanksgiving.
Big Chick, is there a go-to when it comes to Thanksgiving that's not the bird?
Yeah, I really like the string bean casserole.
Oh, I was just going to say, who the hell
it's
eats
so
that thing? Are you kidding me? Wait, okay, is that the same thing as the green bean casserole?
Yeah.
Is that got the mushroom?
Yes.
Is that got like a marshmallow in it?
So good.
Yes, you're missing out.
Oh, my God. That's like the one thing I'm like, who eats that? Are you kidding me? Is that like,
that's great.
That should be like in the Texas State Fair, right next to the guy who's selling like, you know, a stick with like bacon on it. It's just like, you got, I can't do that.
You need the fried little onion things on top. It's killer.
Yes. Yes, Carter. Yes. When that thing pops in the oven every Thanksgiving, it is like, whew, I can't wait to eat that thing later. It's so good.
That's
so
like
good.
The one for the green bean casserole. I'm like, all right, man, what's going on here? You want to ask me what it is that I enjoy about Thanksgiving in terms of side dishes?
What is it, Devon?
Tofu.
Nothing. I don't like turkey. I don't like any of that crap. And I finally come to the realization that if this is about coming together and celebrating and being a family and being as one, well, let's eat what the hell it is that we like to eat. So my family likes crab. Like, we would like to put together food that we enjoy.
Wow.
Right? Like,
okay.
That, like, I cannot do. Like, I'm trying to force down for years, every year of my life, just trying to cram down cranberry sauce. Oh, yeah.
Well, no. That's nasty. That's
like,
gross.
What the hell am I getting? What do I ever... aside from this one Thursday out of the year, do I use cranberry sauce? Or if somebody ever puts that goddamn casserole or I'm at somebody's house, I'm going to stand up and say, that's wrong, all right? This is not like, this is not, we're not in a trailer park, sorry, but like, I can't eat that thing. So I
like how we just
it.
Entirely skipped Halloween. We just went right to Thanksgiving. We have a whole holiday ahead of us. It wasn't candy.
I love
what are you doing on Thanksgiving?
I love Halloween. There's some, maybe it's because it's in October. Maybe because it's like, you know, it's just, it's always, it's a cool time of the year. Like, it's just, like, you know, Christmas, it's cold and you can take it or leave it. What a 4th of July summer. But there's something about, I'm a big, big fall guy. So I love, that's why I love baseball and the playoffs and why the Giants need to get there. There's just something about that bite in the air. Days getting shorter.
Crisp.
Full
moon. The leaves are falling off the trees.
Everything about it. And that's why I enjoy Halloween. Halloween is one of those, and I know people sort of get over it after a certain age. I love it. I mean, because once you graduate from putting on the mask, or when I was younger, obviously you got dressed up, right? You put on the costumes. Sure. And then I got into high school, and for whatever reason, they turned into egg fights. Like, I don't know why. Like, actually, it was before high school. I was just when you're about in middle school and you're about 13, you're like, yeah, I can't dress up as Batman anymore. That ain't cool. So suddenly, like, neighborhoods would get into these egg fights. Like, we would attack. Oh, we got to get to a break. All right. Marshmallow is for candied yams. Okay, so the text line is saying you guys got it wrong. It's for the candied
yams.
You
got to tell us what you eat for Christmas
it's
first.
Mushroom.
All right, well, we'll continue with what it is that we're doing for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, as well as the Golden State Warriors. We continue right here on 95.7 The Game.
To 95.7 The Game.
It is Sterling Bennett alongside Dan DeVone. Our producer today is Big Chick, better known as Carter Mondavi Chickering. We're talking about going to the break, and I want to get back to the Golden State Warriors. Side dishes that you guys enjoy. And I told you were twisted for some of the things that you threw at me. And Sterling, this is according to Better Homes and Gardens. Do you want to know what is? And they took a national...
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
National poll of the worst Thanksgiving sides according to Americans. Coming in at number one, say hello to the candied yams at a strong 27%. At number two, the green bean casserole. Big Chick, that's all for you. At number three, cranberry sauce. And then, well, this doesn't make sense. Stuffing. Is at number four down the list. I don't know who doesn't like stuffing. Is there anything that you're doing to your stuffing? Is there a family recipe that we should be aware of there, Sterling or Big Chick, when it comes to the stuffing?
Well, we don't do stuffing in my house. We do dressing, which is outside of the turkey itself. It's like cornbread and some green onions and some little turkey. It's not inside the turkey at all.
Well, that's kind of odd.
It's a family thing. I don't know. I didn't start it, obviously, but it's pretty good. It's cornbread in there.
All right. Big Chick, are you just going straight up regular?
Whoever made that list, I'd never want to meet them.
Salad, mashed potatoes, and dinner rolls come in as probably the most popular side dish.
Candied yams are amazing.
Just butter dinner rolls is the number, like, the favorite. You can have that any day of the week if you want. Go buy some Hawaiian rolls, pop them suckers in the oven. You can't have dressing every single day. You can't have stuffing or candied yams every single day. This is a Thanksgiving tradition. How dare they say it's the worst?
I'm just telling you, man. I just read the news, man.
Bunch of yuppies. They don't know what good food is.
People are into homemade cranberry sauce. All right, man, I got to move on here. All right, let's just get back to, and if you want to hit us up on the text line and what it is you guys are doing for Thanksgiving, let us know. But I think all that stuff's gross. So here's where I want to go with just to put a bow in talking about our man, Andrew Wiggins. Listen, Andrew seems like a cool... He seems like the kind of guy that if I played with the Warriors, I'd get along with this dude. I like introverts, man. I like people that are just, like, you know, a little different. You know, he's quiet. He's reserved. For the NBA, where there's so many dudes who are... Even Steph Curry, as much as we love him, the shimmy... You know, guys complain after just every bad call, just all the prancing and dancing. And it's not only just the NBA, but in the NFL, dude made a sack. He's got to do a dance, interception. Everybody's got to run to an end zone. You make a good tackle. Look at me. And then the next play, you get the same player gets gashed for 35 yards. I mean, it's too much to the. Look, I don't want to sound like, you know, that guy, get off my lawn sort of dude, but I appreciate somebody like that of an Andrew Wiggins who's just keeps his head down. You don't even really know he's there sometimes, which is not necessarily a good thing. But as far as complaining to referees and prancing and dancing, it's not him. So I appreciate him. But you know the thing about Andrew Wiggins? Remember when he was at Minnesota and when he initially came to the Warriors, Sterling? Remember the immediate sort of sentiment was that, ooh, we just fleeced Minnesota. We got a guy that was the former number one pick, didn't go to Cleveland, remember, because he got dealt straight to Minnesota in that trade that sent Kevin Love, who LeBron, once again, LeBron gets back into the conversation, wanted to play with Kevin Love. And it did turn out, you know, they did win a title. And so Andrew Wiggins was thought to be a guy that in Minnesota that just simply was with a bad system. And keep in mind, this is when the T-Wolves were bad. And the Warriors, their thought was, we just got Andrew Wiggins, and we're going to teach him how to win, because he was in a bad culture. He was in a bad system there in Minnesota. And he doesn't have to even be our number one. He can be the two, as you mentioned. He can be the three, or he can be the four. And it's just going to work out here, because we're going to teach him the secret sauce. In Minnesota, they gave up on him, because you know what the knock was on him in Minnesota? Is that he would disappear, that he was lethargic. He could be really good at times, but at other times, it looked as though he just didn't care.
And now, sounds familiar.
Yeah, and now, through all of this, including the good Andrew Wiggins and helping them win a title a couple of years back, you know, 5 years into the project, guess what? He's the same guy. He's the same dude as he was in Minnesota. Is that fair?
Completely. I think the Andrew Wiggins that we saw when they won an NBA title, when he was an all-star in Golden State, it was definitely, you know, a breath of fresh air for him. You know, I believe when he was traded, it was Tom Thibodeau and Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns, and it was a mess culturally. They were trying to figure things out. Butler came in and was like, this team is terrible. He was yelling and screaming at guys during practice, beating them with the bench players, being like, you ain't a dog. You just, you know, just yelling at the star players they wanted to build around him with. But he gets to go Golden State, he can kind of take a back seat to Curry and Clay and Draymond and Jordan Poole at times, and just say, you know what, let those guys run the system. I'll just be an ancillary piece into it. And now, you know, fast forward a few years and looking into this year especially, he can no longer be an ancillary piece. He has to be a cog in that machine and be a major part of that system. And if the last 2 years and maybe 3 years are an indication, it's like, he's back to who he was with the Timberwolves. Now, maybe some of that is some personal issues off the court, and again, you hope all that clears itself up, and he can, you know, find some solace in that, but it's just like, in regards to just playing on the court, Wiggins is exactly who he's always been. He doesn't want to be a star. He wants to be, you know, a starter, but he wants to not be in the limelight, not talk to the media. He wants to just play basketball, get his 16 points a night, and go home. Which, that's okay. But when you're asked to be more, Andrew Wiggins has never shown the real ability to step up and do more, which is my biggest concern for this year in the Golden State Warriors, where it's like, if Curry goes down, like you asked earlier, who's that number two? And if you're Taylor lethargic, take a backseat Andrew Wiggins, this team is not going to go very far at all.
All right, we should stop hating on the Warriors for a moment and just buy into the fact that they're undefeated in the preseason.
6-0.
Yeah, like I was saying this on another platform, people just went after me as being a hater because there's a lot of feel good. So why not, for the sake of just being
sure?
Like let's buy in. Let's have a sip of that beer that they're drinking, Warrior fans. And why not? You go undefeated, so let's be glasses half full for at least, you know, for the next couple of minutes, and then I'll trash them in the next segment. But for right now, can you see a scenario? Because look at, this is the beauty of sports. Who the hell knows, right? Like, we sit here and we sort of analyze things on paper, and it's like, yeah, it's a 6 seed. Maybe on a good night it's a 5 seed at the end of the year, or they're just jostling between, you know, 6 and 11. But look at, is there a scenario here where Steph is Steph, and it works with Buddy Hield, who really couldn't get off the bench with Philadelphia, but he finds new life here with the Warriors, and De'Anthony Melton's your lockdown guy, and you got Draymond being Draymond, and I do like Trayce Jackson-Davis has become my favorite Golden State Warrior, and I hope he's starting at the center spot. But is there a scenario here that we're missing where this team is legit and could surprise people?
I think the Golden State Warriors, yes, can surprise a lot of people, but I think more importantly, you know, they're going to live and die by the three, and that's okay. You can win that way in the NBA for sure, but I think they've improved the defense this year. I hate to say this, but I do think that Klay Thompson being out of the locker room, he's a very emotional player. We all love Klay. We want the best for Klay in Dallas for sure, and you know, he's a great Warrior, one of the greatest Warriors of all time, but I do think getting that emotional roller coaster out of that locker room with where this team is currently at, with an aging Stephen Curry and an older Draymond Green, with the younger team they're trying to build as, you know, the next generation of Golden State Warriors, it helps to not have that in there where Kuminga and Moody and Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis, guys you're asking to buy into the system. Sometimes Klay, who was very successful in this system, wasn't always buying in. He wanted to get his two, which is fine. Get yours, Klay. But I think that now we can see a more team-centered approach this year, which if that happens and they all buy in and Buddy Hield's hitting 48% from three all year like he has this preseason, they can surprise a lot of teams. We talked about earlier, they have to win four more games to get inside the top eight, top six. If they're doing this and they're playing the Steve Kerr rotational stuff and they're buying into the system and Curry is who Curry has been almost his entire career, yeah, the Golden State Warriors can be a top six seed in the NBA Western Conference this year. They can beat teams like the Clippers, the Lakers, the Kings, the Pelicans, and in a playoff series, maybe host a few at Chase Center this year. And I think they'll be more formidable against the Western Conference than they were last year. And even then, you know, there were games where if Draymond doesn't get suspended and maybe they have some more bench depth and someone steps up, they are already in that conversation as one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Are they an NBA Finals team? I don't think so, but they're going to give teams a lot of run for their money this year, and they should be able to beat the worst teams they couldn't beat last year, like Memphis on MLK Day. It was a disaster. They'll win games like that, which should separate them from who they were last year.
Hey, Miami was in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago and got beat by Denver, and they're always relevant just about every year. And beyond Jimmy Butler, it's just a bunch of dudes, right? I mean, there's certainly the culture word is applicable to the way they do things out there in Miami. And so maybe you don't need Andrew Wiggins or Jonathan Kuminga to be the other guys that are going to be consistent 25-point-a-night guys. And maybe you just share that load. Maybe listen, if everybody's giving you 10 or 12 and it goes, you know, 10 deep, or there's six guys that are giving you 10 to 15 a night, that works as well. You know, that there's certainly different ways to slice this pig. And so, you know, maybe the Warriors do find magic here with a depth and a team that goes, you know, as many as 13 guys. And then you have your defensive specialist. And the Warriors are still small, however. I find so amazing is that we talk about a new team, we talk about transition, but it's the same old thing when you look at this team with your tallest players, Kevon Looney. It's still going to be it's still going to be a big challenge for this team. Really quick, just to get back to Thanksgiving, the 415 is saying the term stuffing and dressing are used interchangeably. So apparently stuffing is dressing. Is that right, Sterling? Because you're the one who brought in the dressing word.
I think it depends on the family and how they do their Thanksgiving cooking. There's always some different ingredients here or there, but from my understanding, stuffing is cooked inside the turkey. You're stuffing it inside and letting those drippings come into it and whatnot, where dressing is made outside of the turkey and then put in the oven separately. That's my understanding of it. So not exactly the same, although a lot of similarities in there.
I guess it's sort of like the Italians in my family back east in Jersey. They would tell you that, like, instead of tomato sauce, it's gravy. Like, they refer to sauces as the gravy. And pizzas are not pizzas. They're pies out there. You say pizza, they don't know what the hell it is that you're talking about. All right. The one thing that I do find interesting about the Warriors is this whole sort of now, all of a sudden, there's this mandate. Somebody just said we're ridiculous the way we're talking about the Dubs. All right. Well, tell me why. Tell me why, 510. So here's the thing about Steve Kerr and this sort of this mandate now that we're going to shoot threes. I've never heard Steve Kerr say that before, that this is what we're going to do to win games. We're going to shoot threes, and we're going to sort of get away from the mid-range. That sounds to me so sticky. Like, that sounds like what Daryl Morey did back in the day via 2018 and had a bunch of guys at 6'5" shooting threes. That's fun, And you might win a lot of games, but, you know, when you shoot threes and you live and die by that, there's going to be nights when you make it, and unfortunately there's going to be nights when you don't make it. The Warriors going back to when they were, and we all know that they're in transition, whether we want to admit it or not, but when we talk about this team, when it was synonymous with championships and titles, do you ever remember Steve Kerr saying, we're going to shoot threes, that we're not going to get away from the mid-range, this is what we're going to do, this is our template to win? No, it was always about that sort of innate ability to move the basketball, to know where guys were, backdoor. I think they even invented the DH, the dribble handoff, the DHO. There was this innate sixth sense where, you know, Draymond, Steph, and Clay, and Kevin Durant all knew where everyone was on the floor. It was just this magical blend. And yes, they shot threes and reinvented the game, but there was never this, we're going to shoot threes, this is the way we're going to win. No, it was just this sort of like, it was just this magical sort of ingredient that they had that no one else had. And now it just seems like it's almost become this sort of, I don't know. It's like I said this last week. It's like a circus act. We're going to shoot threes. Make sure you come watch the Golden State Warriors because we're going to be exciting as hell this year. It's never the way they did things in the past when they just dominated the NBA.
Well, do you think that is because of the roster construction they currently have? You know, you have Buddy Hield and Moses Moody and obviously Curry, and you have players like Andrew Wiggins. Like when I see that, sometimes it looks like you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Like to me, Wiggins doesn't shoot threes. He's a mid-range guy. Kuminga doesn't shoot threes at all. He's a mid-range guy, drive to the basket. And part of me wonders, they went and they signed Buddy Hield. The Anthony Melton's there. Obviously, you have Curry. Draymond can shoot more if you want him to. Kyle Anderson can shoot some threes. Do you think it's a roster construction? Like, hey, we are going to make it a point to shoot threes because of how we made this roster in the offseason? Or is that simply because, hey, the mid-range guys we have aren't as consistent as they should be? That, to me, is where Kerr might be coming from.
Well, I also think it's trending in the NBA right now. I think that, look, nobody shot more threes than Boston a year ago. And they lived and died by the three ball. But they, again, it gets back to roster construction. Yeah, you can shoot threes, but I would put Boston's players, the Jaylen Browns and the Stars and the Jason Tatums on that team and Derek White and Horford. I mean, you go right on down the list, and it was such a... Yeah. You know, it always gets back down to whether you have better players. This isn't baseball, as I talked about, where you can get hot for 3 weeks and potentially win a World Series. And you got pitching can beat defense, and you've got so many players. Or football, where you have offense and defense. Basketball's five dudes. It's five guys. Yeah. And three of those five guys better be stars. And you can dress it up as much as you want, and you can get depth, and you can try and sugar that thing, and you can try and mask it. But at the end of the day, stars win in this league. I'm trying to think back of the last NBA championship team that did it through, you know, strength in numbers. It's usually the best stars that are concentrated on a particular team win a title. And speaking of Boston, they started this sort of back in the day with Garnett, Ray Allen, and they get Paul Pierce. And all of a sudden, they're like, we got three stars, and Doc Rivers, this is the way we're going to win. And then, you know, that was sort of the trend. And then it got to the point where, remember, LeBron's like, well, let me go get my two buddies, and we're going to kick your butt. Right. And he goes, you know, and he gets Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and we're going to Miami. And everybody followed suit. So the point in all of this is that, you know, you can shoot threes until the cows come home, but really what it gets down to at the end of the day, I think, is do you have star power? And hopefully I'm wrong, but I think that that's usually sort of the barometer when we're talking about, you know, who's good or who's bad in the NBA, and as to whether or not you're going to be a winner when it gets to the postseason.
Is that your biggest negative, if you will, of the Golden State Warriors this year? It's okay, you can get back to a team-centered play, you can shoot threes and whatnot, but just on a simple level, when you compare rosters on paper, whether it's age and where they are at a playing level, the Golden State Warriors can be a play-in team. They can be a playoff team. But when you get to the top of the top, NBA Finals conversations, which that's the ultimate goal, you just simply don't think they have enough stars to outlast a team like the Mavericks or the Nuggets or maybe a team like OKC, who is, although young, a lot of budding stars. And we haven't even talked about the Eastern Conference yet, which has the Celtics and whatnot. So it seems like, to me, your biggest negative or detriment of the Golden State Warriors this year isn't, you know, them being a good playoff team or play-in team. It's that they just don't have enough stars to last the entire NBA season and make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, they don't. Exactly. They have stars, but they're aging stars. And yeah. I don't even put Steph Curry. I put him as a 1A. I know that that's not very popular. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry is still, look, he just proved in the Olympics that he can be that guy. I don't know that over 82 games, it's a young man's world. It's a young man's sport. Yeah. And Steph Curry's no idiot, just like LeBron James. What they do is that they load manage throughout the course of a game. They don't go all out in the first quarter. They pace themselves so that they have enough left in the tank to close you out in the fourth quarter. Or when it comes to winning time, as Magic Johnson used to say, that they can reach down and suddenly he can rally you by shooting, you know, five threes in a row and just throw the dagger right through your heart. And LeBron is the same way. But the problem being is that younger stars, guys who are 28, 29, 30 in this league, they can go for four quarters. They can dismantle you by halftime. They don't have to worry about, oh, I got to make sure I have my legs in the fourth or when it comes to crunch time. When you're young, you're not thinking about that. You just go. And we knew this was an inevitability, that the Warriors dynasty was going to get old, and how in the world, because it never ends well for dynasties. Well, this is what the Warriors are telling you, is that we're not blowing it up. It's not a rebuild. We're not doing what Oklahoma did a couple of years back before they became the Oklahoma right now and got all those draft picks. But what we're going to do is that we're going to transition. Don't call it a rebuild, but call it a transition. And we're transitioning into another era here where we're going to fade out Steph and Draymond. Klay's already gone. And we're going to hopefully identify some new, younger players that are going to be sort of the new foundation, the new bones of this basketball team. And then we look to be relevant where we can challenge OKC, where we can challenge Minnesota in a year or two, or maybe 3 years. It's a transition into that, I think, is what we're looking at with the Golden State Warriors. And so you could sell it by we're going to shoot threes, and because you still want to, you know, the bottom line for the Warriors is that you still got to get butts in that seat and pay for that, you know, pay for that arena and still make money. So you still want to be competitive. But in terms of being synonymous with championships and dynasties, Steve Kerr even admitted as much that this is a new position for them. They're no longer the hunted. They're the hunter. Yeah. Like, that is in the rearview mirror. So I think what we're witnessing here, not to hate on the Warriors, is just that they're moving into another direction until they locate what is going to be the new core for another run at the title.
Could I push back and say, and maybe the championship win against the Celtics was this, but when I think of an aging core, which I know there's only two of them now with Steph and Draymond, my mind immediately goes to San Antonio when they played the Heat in the finals and how that was an older core. They had already won plenty of championships. They'd proven enough. They had Popovich, who was old then, and now we have Steve Kerr in Golden State, a very accomplished team that was an aging core, but they had Kawhi Leonard in the building. He was going to be the next piece of their hopeful, you know, winning ways in San Antonio. Is there a potential where you see young players, young dubs like Pajemski and Kuminga and Moody and Trayce Jackson-Davis, who, although, you know, haven't hit their stride just yet, have shown that on any given night that one of those guys can play up to par and be really good NBA players and contributors? You know, for the optimistic Warrior fan in me, and I'm sure in people listening as well, is there a way or room where we look at this and say, you know what, like, it may feel like the end, but if Curry's having a career season or a great season, could this be a very San Antonio Spurs-like year for Golden State where, yeah, they're transitioning, but they're still really competitive and could push for an NBA title?
If there's a Kawhi Leonard on this Warrior basketball team, then yes, I will revitalize what it is that I said.
Which may go back to Kuminga being the most important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I don't think Jonathan Kuminga is Kawhi Leonard. And let's remember
who
Kawhi Leonard was. He won a title his rookie year. And yeah. Kawhi Leonard, until, you know, he became Mr. Street Clothes, was a guy that is one of the best in the NBA. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a star. So it just gets back to my conversation is, do you have enough stars? If there's a Kawhi Leonard that's undiscovered, that's going to have a breakout year, and whether that's Jonathan Kuminga, whether that's Moses Moody, or whether that's Andrew Wiggins going back in the time machine, and they're playing like Kawhi Leonard, then yeah, you got to punch your shot, Golden State Warriors. I just don't see a young, dominant Kawhi Leonard, who started all of this load management back in the day on that Warrior roster. I hope that I'm wrong. Before we get to the break, somebody had a shout out to the Valkyries. Are you watching any of the WNBA? Big Chick, are you in on this, Sterling?
I haven't watched it.
I'm keeping up with it.
I haven't watched it at all.
Shame on both of you. I am telling you, this is entertaining stuff. So it's the finals in the WNBA between the Minnesota Lynx and the New York Liberty. And I'm telling you, this is good basketball. I used to cover the WNBA way back in the day. The talent now in the WNBA is legit. Give me some Breanna Stewart, man. These gals can go. I mean, this is entertaining. It's good basketball. So I'm telling everybody, not to be hashtag me too, but I'm just saying, man, get out there and go watch yourself and go Liberty. They got a chance to close this out. It is fun, entertaining basketball. So I look forward to the
Valkyries. I think once the Valkyries take over, I will probably start to watch the WNBA again. Obviously, it's a Bay Area team, you know, ties to the Golden State Warriors and Joe Lacob and whatnot, but being in the desert, there's not much WNBA talk out here amongst anybody.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing in the middle of the afternoon, man? You're not planning on, like, I don't know, like, what's going on? You're not part of a militia group out there. You're not...
No, I'm out here prepping dinner for the wife once she gets out of work. I am the house husband, if you will.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. All right, we will continue with the Golden State Warriors. Also want to transition into the 49ers. Yes, it's coming. Are you guys ready? 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Need we say any more? I don't think so. Back
Yay!
After this.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.